In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, my brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Veterans Day approaching had me thinking in recent days of movies that try to help us understand and comprehend the battle experience. Whether it's the first very intense 20-plus minute scenes of Saving Private Ryan, or whether it is that just about middle episode of Band of Brothers that depicts the overwhelming challenges of the Battle of the Bulge in the Ardennes Forest. When viewing it on a large HD screen with the state-of-the-art surround sound in the darkness, I have to admit that it is very close to overwhelming for me. There are two things that I believe are driven home very powerfully as you look at those accounts. The first would be the aloneness, the profound loneliness that clearly is the experience of anyone in such moments. And the other almost seems the very opposite, but at the very same time, would be the brotherhood that is forged amongst those sharing such intensely challenging moments. I know that in my life and in my relationships, even with some of you, that some very deep brotherhood and sisterhood has been forged in challenging moments shared together in hard-won outcomes, but none of it can compare. It all pales in comparison to any relationships deeply forged in the throes of military combat. I wonder how lonely Martin Luther must have been in the most challenging moments of the Reformation. A man who makes pretty much every list of the top five most important pivotal human beings of the last 1,000 years, had to have known some very lonely moments as he seemingly stood alone, opposed to the powers, the authorities of not just the church, but also the government and all of the social realities surrounding him, even the military forces of his day. Yet at the same time, there were those who listened to him and who were drawn to his cause, his spirit-led cause of the truth of the gospel. And they quickly joined him in the fray, putting everything, even their own lives, on the line to join him, to defend the truth, to proclaim it to a world that needed to hear it, despite its skepticism. And there most definitely was a band of brothers type of camaraderie and commitment among those experiencing together the physical and the spiritual combat of the Reformation era. Yet Luther could and did also bravely remind those who were following him, those who assisted him and defended him and even feared for his life, that none of their safety nor any hope for outcome of their endeavor together really rested in him or in them collectively, even reminding his prince who protected him of these realities. Similar to the three men of the Old Testament experience of the fiery furnace, or Daniel, as we read it earlier in the lion's den, Luther made sure those who were willing to listen to him would realize that defending the truth, standing up for God's proclaimed eternal promises, could mean in that moment, as they so clearly defined to King Nebuchadnezzar, if this is the day God decides to deliver us into his eternal salvation as a result of our standing true to the word, So be it. Luther referred to this letter of Paul to the Galatians as his second wife. If you're wondering what he meant by that, he meant a companion so dear, so true, so needed daily in his life that he could not ever overestimate its blessings. Don't doubt for a moment that the first verse here of this epistle lesson of chapter 5 of Galatians wasn't echoing often in the ears, in the mind, the heart of Wittenberg's most famous citizen. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. It is a verse that so simply yet powerfully and profoundly speaks the theme of the Reformation itself. You have been freed. Freed from your sin, your guilt, your obligation to obeying God's commands. You have been freed from every last thing that will keep you from finding true and lasting eternal peace with your Creator God. You have been freed through the living, the obeying, the dying, and the rising of Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, as your substitute, placing over you His hard-won righteousness as a gift that makes you approved to live with God forever. Don't let anyone ever try to coax you back into living under the obligation of the law, working your own obedience as some kind of currency with God to pay off your debt of sin that you might live with Him forever. For in doing so, Paul tells us in these verses very clearly, if we try to add anything to God's gift of grace, if we try to add anything of our own doing and making to the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ through His obedience of God's law, we alienate Him. Look on further to verse 5 of this text, or rather verse 4. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. Luther had an intensity, a wherewithal, a fortitude that was able to match this historic moment because he knew all too well the personal battle with sin, with guilt, with obligation to God's law, temptation, and obedience. He personally had been dominated by the Roman Church with its insistence on adding our own works to what God had clearly given to us as a gracious gift, a slavery that it always intended to its own advantage, to lining its pockets and manipulating populations. But when freed by the studying and teaching of the Scriptures that he was assigned to do in his role as a monk, as a priest, as a professor of God's Word, it led Luther to seeing and hearing the gospel of free forgiveness and eternal life as a gift so clearly proclaimed consistently throughout God's Word that there could be no compromise, no turning back, no redefining, no available way out. Nor did he look for one. That's why the second biggest element of the Lutheran Reformation, after the discovery of the gospel of salvation through Jesus Christ alone, was the return to God's Word alone, as Luther insisted, be the standard, the foundation for every question of life and of death and of life after death. If Luther were standing here today, he would most assuredly urge us as strongly as he possibly could to stop listening to the swirl of voices surrounding us in our culture, in all the ways that it challenges God's truth, His eternal objective word of promise, and hone in as intensely as we possibly could on the promises of God's word alone. He would urge us to fervently pursue and pray for the Spirit's guidance and the clarity that He saw in the Word, and He would insist upon that as our only path to the kind of doctrinal certainty of truth and belief and life that He not only found, but that He lived in front of a world that just did not quite understand it and opposed it and challenged it at every turn. Don't forget, He lived the last two-thirds of His life as a man under a death warrant. He was ridiculed and belittled and opposed at every turn by some scholar or some politician or some churchman on just about every single position that he took on every matter in dispute. And the reason why it seemed throughout his life and in the 100 years after that every single thing seemed to be a point of dispute was how long it had been, generations, hundreds of years, since God had raised anyone truly willing to voice its opposition to church and government and society with the clear, directive word of God and His promises. So if you hold the legacy of the Lutheran Reformation as your own, what does this all mean to you? It's pretty simple. You too have been freed from the yoke of slavery to your sin, to your guilt, to certain death, and the obligation to obey God's law as the answer to your sins throughout the rest of your life. You have been freed from the yoke of ignorance and uncertainty that had so overwhelmed the world in those hundreds of years before the Reformation, because you too have the full counsel of God revealed to you on the pages of this eternal word. Stand firm. Stand firm on the word and the gospel when your world surrounding you screams its defiance and rebellion against God's truth and attempts to lead you to buy into what it's selling that will never give you any answers, any certainty, any true hope. Stand firm when friends, family members, co-workers, perhaps even your neighbors, make it clear to you that it is your seeing God's truth as the answer to everything that has them desiring to walk away from a relationship with you because you hold that word so dear. And it is more important than the word of anyone and everyone else. Stand firm. Even when that commitment brings you into a reality that feels like one of the most lonely places you could ever decide to be, stand firm because you realize that the spiritual combat that you are experiencing is not your experience alone. That you have brothers and sisters in Christ throughout time, throughout the world right now, and not so far away at all. Very possibly right at your elbow this morning in worship, who share that understanding of God's word, that treasure with you the freedom that is proclaimed in these verses, who are willing to build their life, their confession, standing firm because they know too, just as you know, that your Savior Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit surround you every day with their guidance in His Word, with their unconditional love and commitment, ready to fulfill every promise of this eternal deliverance to you, even if it should mean in the moment that you stand alone against the tide, in your moment of confession, that it is your last moment of life on this earth as a result of standing firm. We all need heroes to look to for confidence and a pattern to follow. There are amazing examples on the pages of Scripture, and there are many amazing examples in the history of the church, and it's since the Lutheran Reformation itself. There are examples surrounding us that we can look back in the legacies of our own families and congregations. And yet every single one of those heroes has a greater hero that they have focused their lives on. Every one of them has looked to a Savior, a victor, for confidence. It was their brother Jesus Christ. Follow Him into combat every day of your life, and be confident that in following your eternal Savior, you join a band of brothers and sisters who have not failed, will not fail, cannot fail. Follow because they follow Christ, for you will join them in celebrating deliverance, the camaraderie of victory forever. Stand firm. Amen. Please stand. We'll grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen.